For those of you that don't know me, my name is J.C. Huddleston. Brother Jim, Brother Kevin, along with some others, are down in Texas helping with the cleanup and being a witness for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be in prayer for them and be in prayer for me as I attempt to bring the message. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 10. Couple things about me. I don't have an app. I use a paper Bible, and it takes me a little while to turn to those scriptures that I read. Always like to do that. It gives an opportunity for everyone to get on their Bible and read along with me. So at this time, please stand as we read God's Word. Luke chapter 10, starting with verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Again, let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day and for the many blessings you've given us. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to share your word. I pray that you would give me the words to speak. That, Lord, if there be one that doesn't know Christ and the full pardon of sin, that they would accept him before it's too late. Lord, I pray that you would be with our members that are down in Texas and be with those who are down in Florida, Lord, that are working. And I'd pray that you would allow them to be a witness. Allow this church to be a shining light in this community. Be with those who are on the prayer list. Be with those that are sick. And Lord, I pray that you would just guide and lead and direct our country according to your will. And Lord, forgive me of my sins and shortcomings towards you. For I ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Who is our neighbor? That's what the lawyer asked. Let's go back to the beginning. Verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You know, a lot of people are looking to do that. And they're looking in the wrong places. They're looking to do it the wrong way. And Jesus had the answer for him. The situation here is that we have a lawyer. We have someone who knows the law. And in this case, the old law. But I don't believe he understood who he was going up against. He was going up against the Word, the whole Word. And it says, And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? So Jesus kind of put the situation back on him. He asked him the question. And the lawyer said, and he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, for the first part of that, it might be pretty easy. It might be pretty easy to love God with all that you are. But then Jesus adds something else there. To love your neighbor as yourself. And it says, and he said unto him, Jesus says, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. And then the lawyer asked another question, and it says to justify himself. Because I'm sure, just like many of us, especially me, probably not doing what I'm supposed to do, but if I get the right answer, I'll continue to do it because I don't want to take on any more responsibility. It says, but he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And that's what I want us to look at this morning. Who is our neighbor? Now, we can stay in our comfort zone and say that our neighbor is that person that lives right next door to us on either side of our property that maybe has been living there for 30 years and we've established a friendship, we've established almost a family-like relationship with them, and we help them anytime we can and anytime we have an opportunity, and they do the same for us. And that would make it very easy. That would take care of the problem. We wouldn't have to go above and beyond. But we need to look in God's Word and find that there's a little bit more to it than that. And Jesus answered and said, and he spoke in a parable. And a parable is a simple story used to illustrate a moral or a spiritual lesson. In other words, this really possibly didn't happen. It might have been based upon a factual event of some type, but it really didn't happen. Jesus is trying to teach this person the correct way of doing things. And it's not only for him, but it's for us also. We have God's Word to teach us how we should conduct ourselves. And Jesus goes on to say, and a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. This man was dying. He had went down and had fallen among thieves, according to Christ, and he had been beaten up. He had been stripped of his clothes, and they left him dying. And he was there on the road. He was in plain sight. And it says, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, this is where it kind of hits home with me. Whenever I see the word priest or preacher or anything like that, I have to kind of throw it back on myself. How would I handle this situation? Imagine you're walking down the streets of Potosi or St. Louis or anywhere else that you may be, and you see someone who's been beaten up, and it's obvious that they're beaten up, they're bleeding, and they're dying. How are you going to handle it? Well, I have to get a little bit more specific. How am I going to handle it? We see here a priest, someone who has taken the oath of taking care of other people, a minister, someone who understands that he is supposed to treat others the way he would want to be treated. Someone who has been taught that you're to have compassion on other people. And he sees this person, and Jesus says that he walks by on the other side. He takes a look, and have you ever been in that situation where you just don't want to get involved? You know, I don't know what they might have done. They may be a criminal. They might have deserved what they got. So I'm just going to walk on the other side, and I'm going to pretend that I don't even see him. And it's one thing for the world to do that. It's one thing for other individuals to do that. But for a preacher to do that, or a priest to do that, it goes, I think, another step up. Because that's what I believe part of my calling is about, is to minister. That's why they call people that have surrendered to preach a minister. They are to minister to people. Not only spiritually, but also if we have the opportunity to be able to physically help someone in any way we can. Your pastor and your associate pastor and others are doing that right now. They're not only ministering spiritually, which is to them is the most important, and it is the most important, but they are also ministering physically. They are down in an area that they probably are not very familiar with right now. We need to remember them in prayer. We don't really know what they're going up against. We don't know what they're experiencing, but they're willing to do that because that they know that that's what the Lord expects them to do whenever they get the opportunity. That's what the Lord expects us to do when we have the opportunity, is to minister not only the physical needs, the spiritual needs, but in any way that God would lead us to do. But we find here that this priest walks over onto the other side. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus, throughout his ministry, had to deal with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. These were the people that were supposed to know the truth. These were the people that should have known the law and should have known what they were supposed to be doing. And many times Jesus had to rebuke them. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, it says, Jesus is talking to the scribes and Pharisees, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." I'm not always the most, I'm trying to think of a good word here. I don't always have a smile on my face. I don't always seem the Christian type. I have a temper. I've tried to calm that down since I've gotten older. I'm not perfect. But I am to work to be as perfect as I possibly can to my Savior, not on the outside, but on the inside. It doesn't matter how good you look on the outside. That last verse, "Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous." If we look righteous on the outside, if we are not righteous on the inside, all those things will not mean anything. It's what we feel in our heart. It's what motivates us from the inside. Because you see, Christ indwells in us. When we accept Christ as our Savior, He indwells in us. He's not on the outside, He's on the inside. The Holy Spirit is on the inside. It guides us and leads us in the direction that we should go. And many times, people may look good on the outside, but if they don't have that relationship with Christ, if they are not doing what the Lord wants them to do, they may look good on the outside, but it doesn't mean anything. Jesus compares it to a white sepulcher, a tomb is what that is. And he says it looks real pretty on the outside, sepulcher's all nice and white, but when you get down to it, it's full of dead men's bones. It's what we do for the Lord. People can see through us. As a teacher, my students see right through me after a little while. At the beginning of the year, I try and act mean, try and set up my class rules. I try and look intimidating. But after about a month in my classroom, they figured me out. And I can no longer do that. They know that I love them and I care for them, and I want the best for them. So the outward, you know, rough look doesn't work anymore. But you see, what they're seeing is not me. They are seeing Jesus in me. If they see any good in me, it is not me. It is Christ that is within me. And that's what needs to come out to the world. Moving on. Verse 32. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. And I looked up the word Levite, and the Levites were basically the assistants to the priests. They were very much of the Jewish Israelites. And we find here a Levite who sees a fellow Jew that is beaten up, someone who is possibly even part of his tribe. And Jesus says he walks by on the other side. Again, someone who has taken an oath to minister to people, someone who has taken an oath to take care of someone who is in need, ignores the situation and walks on the other side. Then moving on, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Samaria was in the northern part of Israel. It was a kingdom in the northern part of Israel. And the Samaritans were Jewish too, but some of them had intermarried with the Gentiles. And because they had done that, the Jews started looking down on them. They also did not accept all of the books of the Old Testament. They only accepted the first five. So there was another rift there that they had with the other Jews. And the other Jews basically considered them heretics. They got to the point where they hated one another. They didn't recognize one another. Whenever, you know, if a Jewish person and a Samaritan would be walking down the street, they would walk across the street to not run into one another. That's how bad it was. But Jesus said that this Samaritan, as he journeyed by, saw him, and this is what we need to do, had compassion on him. How much compassion do we have, folks? Do we have compassion in our heart for our fellow men? You know, I don't want to take the blessing away from our pastor and our associate pastor and the other members that went down there. But when I talked to our pastor, I could hear the compassion he had in his voice, talking about wanting to go down there. I wished I could have went. I had things going on at school. There's meetings at school. And I felt like that's where I was needed. My kids needed me. But if I would have had the opportunity, I would have went. But because just simply to hear the compassion in the voices of the ones that were going down. And that's what we have to have. We have to have compassion for the world. We have to have compassion for people that are in desperate need, because that's part of our witness. And it says he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Now that was to heal the wounds. Oil and wine, whenever back then they didn't have a lot of antibiotics. But what he did was is he took wine and oil and poured it into the wounds to help heal the wounds, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Now, the Bible doesn't say that he took him. Jesus doesn't say he took him to the inn and just instantly left him. Jesus said that the Samaritan stayed there with him and took care of him for a while. And on the morrow, when he departed, now imagine this. On the morrow, when he departed, he took out two pence, and gave to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Not only did he take care of him himself, but he wanted to make sure, according to Christ's parable here, he wanted to make sure that he was completely healed before he was set on his way. And he gave the keeper of the inn enough money to cover that cost, to cover the cost of the room, to cover the cost of any medicines, to cover the cost of food. And he, not only that, he said, and if it costs any more when I come back through here, I will give you that money also. Can you imagine not do, okay, you're not doing this for your next door neighbor. But can you do it for a complete stranger? Who is our neighbor? The people that live here with us in Potosi? People that are in Washington County? Is our neighbor our fellow Missourians? Some people say our neighbor is anyone that's in the United States, our fellow Americans. But then we're called Missionary Baptist, and we have missions all over the world. Our neighbor, I believe, and what Christ expects us to believe, is everyone or anyone that we can contact in the world or we can help in the world. That's our neighbor. That's what Christ wants us to have in our heart. Whenever there is something that goes wrong, he wants us to have compassion for those who are in need. And then he asked the lawyer again, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? So he puts the pressure on him. So who was his neighbor? And I don't know whether he really wanted to admit it or not, but the lawyer had to say, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. I don't know about you, but as I was studying this and I read this last verse, when Jesus says, go and do thou likewise, he wasn't talking to the lawyer. He was talking to me. He was talking to me, telling me that I needed to take care of my neighbors. And folks, I want to tell you something. It's not every day we walk up to a person who is physically beaten up. It's not every day we walk up to a person and they're physically dying. But I want to tell you this. I would venture to say, and I know I do, that I walk up to at least one person every day who is spiritually dying. They are spiritually dying. If they would die today without Jesus Christ, their soul would go to a devil's hell. What am I going to do about it? Am I going to act like the priest and look at those people or look at that person and say, you know, I'm going to let somebody else take care of this? You know, they probably wouldn't want to talk to me anyway, or maybe I really don't have the time to worry about it. I'm just going to let the next person come up and take care of it. Are we going to be like the Levite who did the same thing? You know, maybe they deserve getting beat up. I don't know what they did. Maybe they're the criminal. You know, I'm very bad about prejudging a situation. I don't know what a lot of people are going through, but Jesus is showing us this story, and possibly the Levite and the priest were thinking in themselves that maybe that person deserved that. It doesn't matter whether they deserve it or not. We have a responsibility as God's people to minister, to take care if we have the opportunity. Or are we going to be like the Samaritan, the enemy of that Jew? Of the three was the one who should have walked over on the other side. The Samaritan, according to Christ and according to the history of the Samaritans and Israel, the Samaritan should have looked at him and said, you deserve that, and walked on. But he didn't do it. The Bible said he had compassion in his heart. And he stopped and took care of him and made sure everything was taken care of before he left. So how are we going to take care of not only loved ones, but possibly a complete stranger that we start talking to and we find out that that's spiritually dying? Are we going to just look the other way and let them go? As the musicians and the song leader come up, maybe you're here this morning, maybe you are spiritually in pain. Maybe you know that you need something in your life. Well, I'm not going to leave this pulpit without telling you that if you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, that's what you need to do. You need to ask Christ into your heart. You need to accept Him as your personal Savior. And whatever spiritual warfare you're going through in your life, whatever pain you're going through in your life, let Christ help you with that. I don't know everyone's testimony here. I don't know everyone's relationship here. I'm not going to judge you on that. That's between you and God. But you know whether you've accepted Christ. You know a time in your life when you've accepted Christ as your Savior. Here's your opportunity to come forward and do that. Maybe you have questions about what you should do next in your spiritual life. Come to this altar of prayer and talk to God about it. And allow Him to lead you in the direction that He would want you to go.
If you would stand with me.